In a world full of film and TV news.
This just in.
Breaking news for you now.
Gotta interrupt you here. We have some breaking news.
To another story that is breaking overnight.
Three men have joined forces to bring you
The Weekly Cut.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Cut podcast, your number one place for the latest news and reviews in TV and film. As always, Connor T is alongside me, Bradley, your host. Hello. How are we?
Yeah.
I've just said it five times, but I'll say it again. Fresh trim.
Fresh trim. It was a bit messy.
Yeah.
I had to get it done.
Razor burn slight, not as bad this time. Yeah. A little bit of a razor burn. Yeah. I had mine done by, like, you know, I don't know if you ever get this, but I went to the Turkish barbers. I don't know if Americans have that.
I think they have like the wax earwax
in England. Like every 2 yards, there is a Turkish barber.
Oh, everywhere, you look.
Everywhere, yeah. Always opening up. And I had a trainee, and you know they sort of said, "Do you mind? You can't say nah." Like
it's my hair.
It was really, really annoying, I didn't like it. Look shit. Anyway, follow us on Twitter at Weekly Cut, also on TikTok. Now this is a fat episode. PH.
Yeah.
PH fat.
Fat.
So I'll start with just rattling off what we're going to go through, and then we'll get into the news. But reports on the James Bond went viral. So we have to talk about it. We've done it to death, I know, but we'll just round up what happened in the week. We've got updates on the new Jurassic World trilogy as of today. Jake Gyllenhaal potentially joining the DCU. And speaking of Jake as well, we are going to be reviewing Roadhouse. Did you finish it?
I did finish
it. Did you? Okay, yeah, did. Save it. Save it. And also, we've got I don't even know what the word would be, a plethora, a shit ton, or whatever you want to call it, yeah. Trailers coming out of your ass. And mine.
Yeah.
Messy shit.
Clean up on our four.
We've got Star Wars, The Acolyte. We've got the new Alien movie, Mad Max Furiosa, House of the Dragon, 2 trailers.
Yeah.
Not one, but 2. The Penguin, Beetlejuice, and there is more. Yes. So let's just get into it. Let me start you off with fresh out the oven news. Just about 2 hours ago, it broke. Scarlett Johansson is in talks and set to star as the lead in the new Jurassic World trilogy. Okay. Now, was you hyped before hearing about ScarJo? Did you want a new Jurassic World movie?
No, I didn't. Fair. I will not lie to you. I think it's run its course.
I somewhat agree with that, but we'll get onto that in a second. But do you like the thoughts of ScarJo?
I like ScarJo in anything.
Yeah.
So she can have a field day.
In fairness, she is a tremendous actor. She looks lovely. Oh, yeah. We'll get that out of the way, but she is a tremendous actor. I'm with you. This for me is so critical that it hits a bit like Superman Legacy.
Yeah.
This needs to, the first movie of this new trilogy needs to be an absolute success.
Yeah.
Because it's fresh off of Dominion. I know it still made $1 billion. Did you know that?
It made a billion.
Yeah.
That's why they're still making
it. Because there's so much hype for it still, but it was such a bad movie and people don't have a good reflection of the actual Jurassic World trilogy as a whole. But they are going back to basics. I can't remember his name. Basics? I think his name's David Keops. He's the one who wrote the original 1993 Jurassic Park.
Okay.
So they've gone, get you back in, write us a proper Jurassic movie.
What can they do?
The only thing I think they could do is Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Which what they should have done with the Chris Pratt trilogy. It should have been like apes, instead of apes, dinosaurs. It should have been that you're in a now in a world cohabited with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But they done locusts and weird shit in that Dominion movie. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
But that's what they should do. It's called Jurassic World.
Yeah. Make it that. That makes me laugh about Jurassic Park, the first one. It was on the other day. It ends so abruptly. Watch it again. It just ends.
Remind me again.
So the ending is they're in the main circle hall room bit, and the T-Rex and
as the sign falls.
Yeah, and the T-Rex kills the two Velociraptors. Yeah. And then they just get on the helicopter and they go, and the credits start rolling.
And he's looking out the window, is he? Yeah. As it flies.
And it ends.
Oh wow!
It's so abrupt.
I didn't even think of that.
It's
yeah.
So funny.
Okay, let's move on to. Let's get this out in the open. Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Yep.
Now, when I say news sent the world crazy, this is the prime example of what happened. So on Tuesday, I think it was Daily Mirror or Daily Mail, one of the two, both scum.
Yep.
Correct. They reported that Aaron Taylor-Johnson has been offered, and they're awaiting his reply, the role of Bond. Now, obviously, the whole world had their opinion. We've had ours. It's on the Twitter at Weekly Cut and TikTok. We've spoke about Aaron Taylor Johnson from Bond, who's been, for the past years, been spoken about it. So just remind some listeners and myself, what was your thoughts on him?
I thought if they were going a direction in terms of not Daniel Craig, I think he'll be more brutish.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to step away. But I could see him in the role, but I don't want him in the role. I know who I want.
I agree with you. We both want Cav.
We want Cav. Big Cav. He is born for Bond.
Henry Cavill is born for Bond. It's a disgrace. I think I said it to you at the pub the other day. It's an absolute disgrace that we had Henry Cavill and he didn't get a proper run of Superman, and he looks like he's not getting a run at James Bond. But yeah, Aaron Taylor Johnson, we love him as an actor, and I had loads of comments saying, how can you love him as an actor if you don't see him as Bond? I love Leonardo DiCaprio, but I don't see him as a T-Rex.
Exactly.
That people have roles that we know they're not good for. So yeah. I'm not saying he's not good for it. I just can't see him as the veteran spy.
No.
Maybe they start off his journey as 007 a bit before.
Maybe.
Do you care?
I don't really care. But I couldn't care less about this film.
Yeah. Struggling. Yeah, he's struggling.
Because I think by now you should know.
Yeah.
I think before Daniel Craig finished Sharp Shop.
Yeah.
Have someone in mind.
Yeah, it feels like they are scrambling a little bit.
Yeah.
But we'll see. As soon as we get some more intel on, no one's actually debunked that from Sony or MGM, anyone, the Broccolis who own the rights. No one's actually debunked that report. So other tabloids are trying to say it's not true, but no one's actually debunked it, which makes me think there is some truth to that. But we'll move on. Jake Gyllenhaal come.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting because many people don't know, or may know, so maybe I won't be rude, but many people don't know that Jake Gyllenhaal was actually in the last run-in to be Christopher Nolan's Batman. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
He was indeed. And then they went with Christian Bale, who he done all right.
He's a good boy.
He smashed it. Yeah. Okay, so, but with Gyllenhaal, he was asked, because he is constantly fan-casted as the new Batman, he was asked if he'd be interested, and long story short, he said it'd be an honour. It's actually quite daunting, the thought of playing something quite classic like that. Now, my personal opinion, he would be amazing.
Yeah.
He can do the combat stuff. We just saw it in Roadhouse, which we're going to talk about later on in this episode.
Yep.
But he also, from a film like Prisoners, he can play the mentally troubled, what's going on behind those eyes type of guy. But so anyway, do you like it?
I do like it. And again, we'll get onto Roadhouse, but watching that, at the end and everything, you can see he's a fucking brilliant actor.
A bit unhinged.
Yeah, oh, massively.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's phenomenal. If you think Jake Gyllenhaal ain't a good actor, then I'm not, go away.
Yeah, don't switch off and listen.
But yeah, I just really, really, really like the thought of this.
And he'll fit the suit.
Yes.
He'll look good in the suit.
I can also see him sitting alongside David Corenswet as Superman. I can see them two as Batman and Superman. I really can.
Yeah.
He's a little bit older, Jake Gyllenhaal, than David Corenswet, I believe, as well. So Jake Gyllenhaal's got to be late 30s, 40s, in his 40s.
Yeah. That works better because Superman should look young.
Exactly.
So look
and better. James Gunn has said previously that the Batman in the DCU will be older than Superman because that's the way it should be. He's the strategist. Yeah, absolutely love the thought of that. Joker 2, a trailer is on the way. So let me start with some good news for you. A trailer is on the way. I'm hearing this week, potentially attached to Godzilla vs. Kong, because that's coming out in cinemas on Friday. So the trailer's coming. Can't wait to see it. Really hyped for this movie.
Yeah.
I'm worried now.
So am I.
Okay. I thought you might be. Now, the reason me and Connor are worried, who are two big fans of Todd Phillips' Joker, in the week, a report came out from Variety that it's been described now as a jukebox musical.
Yeah.
And we'll have roughly 15 covers of very well-known songs.
That's
a lot.
Yeah, there's going to be an Ozzy Osbourne song in there somewhere. There's going to be an AC/DC song in there. I am worried because Joker 1 was perfect for me.
Mm-hmm. So, perfect, 10 out of 10 movie.
Yeah. So now what I don't want is Joker 2, Joker and Harley Quinn sitting there, and then Joker's being really serious, and he jumps to Harley Quinn's and he's like, gotta dance, gotta dance, and all dancing around. I can't have that.
Look, I can't. I'm trying to play devil's advocate because I'm on your side, but I'm thinking, how can I rebuttal Con here? But I can't really. I respect, and I really do respect different filmmaking.
Yeah.
And I respect that they've done something very different to comic book movies with the Joker, and it worked.
Perfectly.
Yeah. And maybe they wanted to try something a bit different in this one, which they clearly are doing. And it might be perfect.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, me and you originally had a chat, and we thought it'd be, you know, Harley Quinn's mental breakdown, a few songs here and there.
Yeah.
That's what she's seeing. It's not actually happening. But 15 songs is...
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of songs. It's a lot of musical numbers to sit through.
In like a, what, 2.5 hour movie, say? That's a lot of songs.
Yeah.
That's a full-on musical in my eyes. That's
a full-on. Like Wicked coming out will be the same.
That'll have at least 15 songs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can see why me and Connor are worried. Let us know what you think. Maybe we'll clip this and put that on our socials. And you can tell us if you agree or disagree with me and Connor. Right, moving on to the last piece of news before we get into the trailer. Actually, no, that's it. Let's get into the trailers. Ooh. Yeah, let's get in. Right, we'll spend more time on some than others, but we are going to go through. I think we've got 8 here for you guys. It was a big week. You must know if you've been following us on Twitter and seen the world at the minute. But let's start with Star Wars The Acolyte, which hits Disney Plus on June 4th.
Yeah.
Straight on the layout of this trailer segment is straight to you after I let you know the release date.
Okay. I just watched it again. At first, I was quite excited, but now watching it again, I think it's going to be a bore fest. Yeah. The poster looks brilliant.
Absolutely awesome.
And you think, we're getting something different. I don't think we are. I think it's going to be the same old political shit, and we're not going to get the Jedi against the, not even the Sith, the Jedi against the dark side. Not going to get that. It's going to be a bit of fighting, but I think ultimately it's going to be a bore.
You know, I agree with you, but just in a slightly different way. I agree with you because I have no faith in Disney.
Yeah.
With Star Wars. The trailer, I agree with you that there's points in that where I'm just like, something's telling me it's not going to be as good as they're trying to lead us on, i.e. it's very clear they've tried to push the martial arts route because lightsaber duels have been quite shite in recent years. Obviously, Kenobi had some good ones with Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, but it has been quite shit.
Yeah.
Nothing's actually topped Revenge of the Sith, which came out a long time ago with Anakin and Obi-Wan.
But
something's telling me that it's not going to be as good as they're trying to push. They're not using any of the volume technology in this, but I still thought it looked a bit shite.
Yeah, it did look. It did.
When they were doing Coruscant and that, I didn't think it looked very good.
Yeah.
Look, it's set 100 years before The Phantom Menace picks up in the High Republic. As Connor said, he wants to see red lightsabers clashing with multicolored lightsabers.
Yeah.
But will we get loads of that?
I think that the bit in the trailer where you see all of them activate their lightsabers, that's the only bit you'll get. That's
one,
all we're getting.
One massive fight scene.
Yep.
Look, I did see that it's got the most disliked thumbs down on the Disney YouTube.
Oh,
I think a lot of that is because Star Wars fans are very toxic.
They are bad.
But, people are as hyped as I was for this because of the idea of it. I just haven't got any faith.
Nah, and I think that's probably that's
universal fault.
Yeah, and that's Disney's fault.
Yeah, and that is Disney's fault.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Oh, God. Right, let's move on then because you said to me in the week you've changed your mind on this. Mm. Mad Max Furiosa.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Talk to me.
It is a fucking brilliant trailer. It is so good. I think because now in this trailer you see more of Anya Taylor-Joy and what she's about.
Her character, yeah.
And you see more of Hemsworth and what he's about.
God, he's Australian, isn't he?
He's proper Australian.
And they've put that right. I know he is Australian, by the way. So, but what I mean is, obviously, it's set and stuff, you know. Though.
Especially hyped.
Really Australian.
Yeah.
I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah, and the action looks good. And I think her story seems good. And he just seems horrible.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant.
That's all you want, really. Yeah, that's what you want from a Mad Max movie.
Yeah.
I've not got much to say. That comes out on 24th of May. Mad Max Fury Road. I'm not expecting it to beat that because that movie is probably, for me, in my opinion anyway, I think that's another perfect movie, especially as action movies go. So, yes, me and Connor would have liked it to have linked to that movie a little bit more.
Yeah.
But let's give Chris Hemsworth a chance, who looks to be a fun villain.
Yeah.
And Anya Taylor-Joy speaks for herself. She's a great actress. So
I think they've got a problem with it. I'm going to pause on the trailer segment for now.
Do it.
But it's to do with trailers. It's a problem I feel now sometimes. I feel a bit cheated. Because some trailers come out and I think, this looks brilliant. I cannot wait to see this film. And you see the film, you think, oh, this is shit.
Hashtag Zack Snyder Rebel Moon.
Yeah, exactly that. And so that's why maybe I'm a bit hesitant sometimes with films. You got to...
100%, yeah. That's why you have to get, whether that's from reviews that you have to give, you know, ignore reviews and just see the movie for yourself. But Connor's right, trailers really struggle nowadays. Either they show the whole film,
yeah,
like The Crow, which was a really good trailer, but they showed the whole movie. I've seen that movie now.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie. But yeah, they struggle. Let's move on to Alien Romulus.
Oh, yeah.
Comes out August 16th. Go.
It felt quite nostalgic.
Very.
Yeah. I am really excited for it.
Well, there's a reason it felt nostalgic, because it's set between 1 and 2.
Perfect.
Perfect.
That's what we want.
Someone's gone, hang on a minute, forget, you know, we got Michael Fassbender in to do the old storyline where, you know, we create androids and then androids create the aliens and then they kill us, which actually is a great concept.
Yeah.
But you fumbled it.
Yeah.
Go back to what people love. And Alien and Aliens are two fucking fantastic movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why you feel nostalgia, mate.
I want aliens running about. I want humans scared shitless and trying to kill the aliens.
And not with, you know, it doesn't look like they've got loads of technology and stuff like that, which they sort of brought in with androids and stuff. This is people, like, I've just got maybe a gun and that, and they've got those face huggers, I think they're called, running at them, and they are helpless. And that's what's great about aliens.
It sounded like, do you know the alien sound?
Yes.
There was that piped into the trailer. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, well, here we go.
Me and you ain't really horror fans.
Nah.
But the Alien franchise, to me, is so iconic. Yeah. And I feel like you know, I feel like you think that as well.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that franchise isn't done.
Yeah.
I feel a bit like that with the Predator franchise, and that's why me and you were really hyped when we watched Prey. Do you remember how good Prey was?
Yeah.
The tribal one.
Native American one,
that's the one. Like, it needs a win, and this Alien franchise could maybe do what Prey done for Predator, where it got people, hang on a minute,
yes,
the Predator is cool, like, so is Aliens.
Let's bring this back.
Yeah. That's not a dead franchise to me, so yeah, I'm really, really excited for that.
Do you remember the Alien ride in Magic Kingdom?
I do.
That is the most weirdest place ride in Magic Kingdom.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't know until you just said Magic Kingdom that it was in Magic Kingdom.
Yes, where Lilo and Stitch is. Stitch's laugh floor. So or more to think.
So you come off the laugh floor and go on to Alien.
You're an alien, yeah.
Fucking hell, mate. Yeah.
Pitch black and aliens running about.
Jesus Christ. Moving on to Dark, The Penguin releases this fall on HBO Max. I'm potentially one of the most excited I've been for a TV show.
Yeah.
That trailer, it was only a minute and a half long.
Really good.
Wow.
Gives me Tony Soprano vibes.
I feel like they're going for that. I think they're pushing that big time.
And I got it straight away.
Yeah.
But yeah, he looks menacing.
The way, you know, him talking and the parallels from the Batman movie. Again, this picks up, for people that don't know, this picks up straight after the events of the Batman. Robert Pattinson is very, very highly rumoured and definitely going to show up in this.
Yep.
And yeah, I just can't wait to see what he does more with, because he was one of the best things out of the movie.
100%.
The Batman was brilliant in so many ways, from Paul Dano's villain of the Riddler to Pattinson's performances, Batman, everything. But Colin Farrell's Penguin.
Yeah, he was. God. Yeah, he was. And you wanted more.
You wanted more, 100%, and we're getting it.
Yeah.
He's calling it a really twisted 8 hours of television, is Colin Farrell. Ooh. So I cannot wait.
You said to me in text, because we discussed last week about the Batman coming into James Gunn's DCU.
Yeah.
And you said, this cannot be.
Yeah. Well, you said it. You said it last week, and you went about the tone, and then you sort of made me look like a right tit, and then I went, yeah, actually, it can't go into James Gunn's DCU, because how the hell is this Batman in this dark, you know, tone of film going to do quips with the Flash now? Then this Penguin trailer comes out, and then I messaged you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no chance.
No, because now you're thinking, if he's in it, and he's got the Flash...
Yeah.
Say the Penguin's captured the Flash somehow, you'd think, we'll just shoot him in the head.
Yeah, this Penguin we know, he's going to kill him dead. Yeah,
just set him on fire.
Looks great. I've got nothing more to say about the Penguin. Few more to go. We've got House of the Dragon Season 2.
Yep.
Release date, June 16. We got two trailers, come.
Yeah, we did.
Choose your side.
Yeah. It's black all the way.
Racist.
Correct. Black is correct. Good concept. Mm-hmm. There's two trailers. But
is there a butt? I was going to say, is there a butt coming?
Yeah, there is a butt. They've already angled the audience in a particular way.
Yes.
We're already set to go Team Black.
But isn't that intentional, though? Like, so, yeah, I do what you mean. Choose a side doesn't... It's not like Iron Man versus Captain America, where it was a straight down the middle, who you're going to go for.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is engineered into...
Like, yeah, Black is the only way you can really go, because they are correct.
They are correct. He was... Yeah, he left it. But then again, what... I have no sympathy for her. I think she's a bitch. But the higher towers, the green side, the green trailer, they are the baddies in my eyes. I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
But in her defense, at the end of season one, she was on his deathbed, that was King Viserys. He did utter those words. Now, we know, as the viewer, he meant in future generations. He's talking about Jon Snow, not as Aegon, which is obviously his name. He's not talking about her son now, Aegon. So he uttered those words, and she does believe that wholeheartedly, that he was telling her he needs to be king. So I think that's the angle they're trying. I think that's poppycock.
It is absolute poppycock.
Absolute poppycock. You're waiting to tell me poppycock.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
Have you got a problem with Black or something? Because it sounds a bit like, I don't know, I'm not sure.
No, that is a dangerous question. No, I'm joking. No, look, I am all the way Team Black. They are much, even forget about whether they're in the right or wrong, and they are in the right.
Yeah.
They are just cooler.
Yeah, they
are.
They've
got Matt Smith.
Yeah, and he is key for me.
Yeah, he is key.
And I think, regardless of the pick your side, the trailers did look good.
Yeah.
The green one was a bit weaker.
Yeah.
But the king, who's the king for series?
Yeah. Oh, no, King Aegon, the son now, yeah.
He seems like he's going to be a bit of a C-U-N-T.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
The way he just went, war it is then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And I like that.
Yeah.
So they might win you over.
I think this is... We were big fans of House of Dragons Season 1. I think this is going to be another hit for HBO. Boring. They're that good at it. That's HBO, so good. Right, moving on. A little bit different, because it's a game, but I thought we'd mention it because it got a lot of attention online. Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra comes out in 2025, set in Paris, I think it is, or in Europe during World War II.
Yeah.
And it's Captain America and Black Panther. This blew me away, graphics wise.
It looks unreal.
Unbelievable.
Well, Unreal Engine.
Unreal Engine 5.
It's, unbelievable.
The capture, so it's King Ezekiel in Walking Dead for people that's playing Black Panther. And it's so strange how... His lips and eyes, the way they twitched and everything was so real.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that.
It looked amazing.
Would you play it, though?
I've got a problem with superhero films.
I
can't trust them.
I usually don't. Something tells me this, they're going to try and something a little bit different, and they're trying to do a much better game that's different. It's going to have a good story about... They've allies in World War II, so they've got an actual campaign. Well, not campaign, but a good story behind it.
Yeah.
But you are absolutely correct. You should be cautious.
Yeah. What was a good Batman one? Arkham Asylum.
The Arkhamverse. So Arkham Knight, and so those are the ones where that. And I'm trying to think of another. And Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So Batman and Spider-Man are the only I can think of great games. Even the new Suicide game flopped.
Yeah.
So it is really hard to do superhero games, but those two are key. But yeah, I'm interested. It's all the sad. It's a game. We'll move on.
Yeah.
I thought I'd throw it in there. Please go check it out because it will blow you away visually.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's like that. Now, Connor, did you watch In a Violent Nature?
I did. Yeah.
I'm really impressed.
I think that's going to be an instant cult classic.
I completely agree.
Yeah, because it just looks brutal.
It's so for people who are wondering, it comes out on May 31st. It sets the whole movie. The entire movie is from the perspective of the killer. I'm struggling to think of many movies that do that. So I don't. Yeah. I think I read that it's not gonna change from behind him. Ah. So the whole movie is you're going to be with the killer.
That is good.
That is so good.
Has that been done before?
I'm trying to think of a. It's got to be. I know. Look, Michael Myers. When he's on screen, Michael Myers, it's in his perspective sometimes. But in terms of like the camera follows him.
Yeah,
it's almost as if you are the killer.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be it's gonna be so intense.
God, it looks it.
But I'm gonna Google it. I can't think of one that's done a whole movie from the perspective of a killer before.
No,
mental.
And I think in Sundance as well. It was a Sundance Festival, wasn't
it? That's it.
That's when you know it's going to be
all day long.
Cult classic.
Now, speaking of cult classics, I've not seen it. So I'm just going to put that out there for the listeners. I'm sorry because it got a lot of... I had a lot of conversations with people and I was probably implying that I had seen it, but I haven't. Beetlejuice 2.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Beetlejuice?
I've seen it once or twice, years and years and years ago. I could not tell you what the story is. I know, if you say it three times, he pops up.
Bit like Candyman, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the kid, Candyman. Look, I don't... Michael Keaton is a G. I'm sure he's going to be great, and he was good. It's just... I don't know, just... I always thought of it like Adam's Family, but you know what I mean? It feels a bit like that to me.
I think he does have like slugs come out of his eyes and stuff like that. It's like weird shit. That, but it's Tim Burton, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
It's going to be, it's all weird shit. But yeah.
Will you watch?
I probably will give it a watch.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I'll go to cinema for it.
Fair dues.
I don't think he's got, like, well, I don't know, maybe. I was going to go Ghostbusters, but I heard a bit poopy things.
Absolute. Got some dross reviews. Yeah. I'm not hearing good things, like Connor said. So we'll probably miss that. Well, I mean, we will watch it, but to rush out to the cinema for something that just gets... All I'm hearing, it's nostalgia bait, and that there's no actual substance to the movie. It's just, look at us with our proton blasters in New York and doing the Ghostbusters theme. So, I don't know. But, but Beetlejuice, I'll give it a watch purely because you said you would. Right, that's it for the trailers. What was your favourite trailer?
My favourite trailer? I need to remind myself.
I'm going to go Alien Romulus.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best.
It was between the Penguin, Alien Romulus, and House of the Dragon for me, but I'm going Alien.
I'm going Alien, 100%.
Done the job.
Yeah.
Right, now let's move on to some fun. Roadhouse Con.
Yes.
What did you think?
It started off an absolute struggle because I just thought some of the characters were weird. The script was a bit weird, a bit simple.
Yep.
And then Conor McGregor come into it and changed the game.
I've not spoke to you since you've seen this, so I was wondering if you thought the same as me. I completely agree with Conor. Was the movie good? No.
No, it wasn't good.
Did you have a good time?
It was Monday morning fun. I had a real good time.
I completely agree with you, though. The story, now, I know it's a remake of an original from Patrick Swayze's movie, but the story, oh my God, the cliches, Con.
Yeah.
It was one after another from the trust fund mob boss's son who's in prison, and he's out trying to impress his dad, who's getting fucking it all up and getting it all wrong, so they hire the dad's enforcer.
Yeah.
Oh, and then even the bit when he goes to, Jake Gyllenhaal goes to Danielle Melchior, the girlfriend, and he goes, you don't want to know me.
Yeah.
I'm bad. You're good. It was like, is this real?
That is so 80s.
That
as
is
well.
So 80s. Yeah. And, you know, when he's got the five frat boys outside and he's, oh.
Yeah, and then when he gets captured by the police, by the corrupt police,
oh.
And then the girlfriend turns up, oh, that's my father. It's like, of course it is.
Of course it is.
I knew it would be.
The daughter of the wrong cop. Yeah. Yeah, and she then gets kidnapped.
Anything you can think of in action
so,
film.
Yeah, the story is shit. I'm sorry. There's no, even the dialogue, there's nothing to that. If we're going to be honest and review a movie, when you look at those pillars of story and dialogue and, you know, substance, there's none.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Conor McGregor.
He was good. As a debut.
Look, he's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Not good at acting.
Yeah.
But he's so entertaining.
Character, pizzazz, he's got all that
everything
going for him. His script was simple for a reason.
Yep.
It was just go out there, be Conor McGregor, but just do it in this film.
Yeah.
Just be a nuisance.
Oh, so good. The opening scene when he shows up in Italy and he's naked for some reason.
Yeah.
You think he shouts a Rivederci and then just headbutts someone for a coat.
Yeah.
The fighting I thought was really cool.
Yeah. Now, I had a problem at the very beginning.
Post Malone.
With Post Malone. That fighting looked like a game fight.
Awful.
It was really bad. And I thought, why have you put this in it? Why does it have to be Post? Maybe because he'd done the music, so they wanted to give him a little role. I like Post Malone, but I just didn't.
It didn't.
It didn't work.
The punches looked off and everything, but Jake Gyllenhaal and when McGregor was fine, it was really brutal. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And my man got in shape. Jake Gyllenhaal, my word. Yeah, I mean, there's not much. I mean, I don't know what more to say about it, really. I would. What would you recommend people to watch it?
It's if you've got Amazon Prime, which the whole world has,
yeah,
because their model is brilliant.
Yeah,
watch it. It's good fun.
Fair enough. I completely agree. Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm surprised he took that movie. I don't know why.
I was going to text you and say that.
Yeah.
It's a weird film in the height of his career.
Yeah.
It's a weird film to accept.
To star alongside Conor McGregor.
Yeah. I'm not sure why, but his name's out there, I suppose.
Fair dudes. Please be Batman. Yeah. Right, let's move on. So what is on our screens, mate?
Tell me!
Now, I know what's on your screen.
Shogun.
Have you watched Shogun?
What was the first episode?
What do you think?
Loved
you told me you liked it. Yeah, sorry.
Absolutely. I can't fault it.
It's so good, man.
Someone in my work said... I say it's a good one. Yeah, I'm just now getting on board with the pirate. I didn't like him at first.
I didn't mind him. I think it's because his accent is so strong.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, some really posh English accent. But
yeah,
that was the times. So I think he's smashing it.
Yeah.
And then later on, you attach to him. He's so good. I think it's brilliant. I'm so glad you watched it.
But you got to be in the mood because you got to be able to... be bothered to read the subtitles. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
Dubbing it over, I think, is a...
It's a crime.
Yeah, against the thing. Well, it's disrespectful to the project.
Yeah, and the actors, they're never going to appear doing, selling a scene to you because it's being dubbed over by someone that's not there. So, yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
What
else?
Where did you go? You went to cinema, didn't you, mate?
I did go to cinema yesterday. And I saw June Part 2.
He done it. What did you think? Now you've had time to digest. What did you think?
Saw it in IMAX. I think seeing it in IMAX is up my score because that's how it should have been been viewed. It was not saved, but it was redeemed by the final act. That was breathtaking. From the moment that started to end, it was astounding.
I can't think of anything I've seen more remarkable in a cinema from acting to cinematography to action.
Yeah.
I cannot believe what happened.
I couldn't take my eyes off the screen.
No.
And before that, I won't lie, I checked my watch a few times
because
it was very talky. And I think it was more talky than the first one, but then the second one just shit all over it.
It's a really good point that. My take on things like that is because it's very similar to Lord of the Rings. So I agree. It's very, very, I was quite shocked when I first watched Dune Part 2 of how talky it was because of, Denis Villeneuve was saying how it's going to be more action and the Part 1 left it on such a good time for a real action, movie to commence. But then again, I don't think you get that feeling of when it does kick off.
Yeah.
Like now, I don't know about you. I know I'm, I'm a bit of a dick rider or a meat rider, whatever they call. I love Dune. It's one of my favorite things I've watched probably in my 30 years of movies.
Yeah.
I am obsessed with it. But I think for an average viewer, so I'll be interested to see what you think of this. Like, I just really care and I'm invested about Arrakis, the planet, the Fremen, the people. Like, you know a lot about them. Do you know what I mean? Would that big war scene at the end have mattered as much, or Paul Atreides doing what he'd done if you wasn't, you know everything about him?
Yeah, you do build with the characters.
So
yeah, and I agree. And like one of them, if you've seen it, I haven't seen the spoilers by the way.
Yeah,
one of them who is constantly taking a piss out of Paul Atreides and laughing at him at the end when she gets captured.
Yeah,
and she's about to get killed. At the beginning, I didn't like her. I thought, you're a knob, stop it. But now, and then I was like...
You're a knob.
I was like, okay, yeah, I like you, because you've warmed to him. Now he's got his name, Ulus, or whatever his name was. And I thought, okay, you've come round. Now I've come round to you.
Yeah.
And then you flip yourself, because I don't know where I stand with Paul Atreides. I don't know where I am with him.
In terms of...
I think his intentions are correct, but the way he's going about it is going to be all wrong.
I'm about to where I know the story of Dune. I've never read the book Dune Messiah, which is going to be the third movie, which I think he will definitely make because it's still, our cinema was packed, so it's still going to make money. I think it's about to hit 600 million now, so it's probably going to steamroll to 700, 800 million, and it only had a 190 budget, so it's pretty successful. But yeah, I don't know this, and people who have read the book will know. I agree his intentions are correct. The only way to defeat everyone and take control was to become this person,
yeah,
and use the propaganda that those Bene Gesserits have put in place over centuries on Dune to ignite that,
yeah,
and get them to believe in him, that he is the Messiah. But I get the feeling, I agree with you, I think where his intention was right originally, I think he's going to get lost in that.
Yeah, I do.
And
yeah.
I think he's, you know, his vision of billions, I think he's going to do some bad stuff.
I think he's got the warheads as well.
Yes.
And he has...
He only used three of them. I think he's got about 90.
And it was destruction. Absolute destruction.
But, you know, the bit from... The scene, one of my favourite scenes I've watched at the cinema was when he walked into that war council. And then from that moment, like you say, it's just constant. You then hit the war. He fires the atomic thing and the camera goes from his face to behind him and the explosions. And then you get the sandworms, the way the Fremen come from out the sand and sprint.
It's so cool. That will never get boring. So cool.
Watching that again in IMAX, like you say. You know, what a movie. What would you rate that out of 10?
What would I rate it? I think it's very, very, very good. I don't know what I gave Dune Part 1. I'd probably give this an 8.5.
Strong.
Because I think the beginning was slower than I expected. But then again, it was needed for the whole film.
I completely agree. If they found a way to maybe balance it slightly better,
yeah,
I maybe would go higher. But yeah, I gave Dune 1 an 8. And I would, just because... I was an 8.5, and I think it's great, but I'm now saying fantastic, and I'll give it a 9, purely because, as I say, I cannot recall. Probably Lord of the Rings is the last thing I can think of where I'm, and obviously Avengers Endgame, but that spent 90 movies to do that. Something like that in a cinema, very rare.
Yeah, coming out of cinema, I'm thinking, that's I don't want to stand like a knob, but that is cinema. That is cinema.
No, you're right. And those films do not come around where you come out and go, that's filmmaking, that is cinema.
Yeah.
It is a bit weird to say that. Yeah. But yeah, right. What else on your screen, mate?
Nothing else.
Well, I've only got one thing. I've not been that busy. Yeah. All the other stuff I told you last week, and I'll catch up maybe when the series ends, but X-Men 97 is now streaming on Disney Plus. I think it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
It's very, very good and has surprised a lot of people. In terms of animation, superhero TV shows go, Invincible's still the GOAT, but that, I'm shocked. And Cyclops, make whatever you've done to him in this, put him in live action like that.
Yeah.
It's all you need to do. There's a scene where he uses his visor to when he's fighting, and he'll, like, if someone goes to punch him, he uses his visor to push himself out the way of the punch.
Ooh.
So he's like going, like dodging people by blasting. It's really odd. And then like hitting them. Yeah, great. Fantastic.
Would I like it?
Good question. You love Invincible.
Yeah.
But they're completely different.
I'm quite funny with like animation like that.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. I mean, they're only like 25 minutes. So if you get bored, try it. Because you don't really need to... you know, watch the original. And Magneto's very good in it. He gets dark. He says something along to the council. He takes them up above the world and is about to drop them because they do something bad, which I won't spoil for anyone. And then he just says to someone, he starts speaking about Charles Xavier, saying he's promised him he would do better. He doesn't think he can do it. So he says, prove me right. And then like basically threatens them. The way he says it though, like that's how Magneto should be. But yeah, can't wait for live action. Do you want to go for scraps, mate?
Scraps.
Bunch of scraps!
I think I did have a scrap.
We are going to have just go run through very, very quickly our favourite 2023 movies, top five. I've got a couple of scraps before then, but over to you first.
I don't think I've got a scrap. I thought I had one.
No?
But no scraps.
Oh, we're timing this perfect as well, the podcast. Happy Gilmore 2, mate. In the works.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I love that.
At Netflix, Adam Sandler's deal. I assume it's under that. And then I've got another scrap for you. Cillian Murphy is officially returning as Tommy Shelby for the Peaky Blinders movie. Starts filming in September.
Yeah.
Now, have you got five movies for me?
I have.
I'll just say quickly, this is from, I think the name, the Twitter handle is Juggler. Go give him a follow if you can. He's a friend of the show, really always, you know, interacts with us. So really appreciate that. Keep doing it. And he's requested our top movies of 2023.
Yeah.
So what were yours?
Now, I'm only looking at the list you provided. Yeah. That's no help. I'm trying to think of more as I go. But Oppenheimer.
That's the best movie of the year.
100%.
Yeah.
Across the Spider-Verse as well.
Fantastic. I think brilliant. That both of those are in mine as well.
What else did I think? I think Guardians probably would be in there.
I would say so.
I really enjoyed
it. Rounding off a trilogy.
It hit me in the feels.
Absolutely emotional feels.
What's some? Have you got any others that aren't on this list that I might have forgot?
You might have. I was blown away by John Wick 4.
Yeah.
I was, in terms of action movie, I think I gave that a 9 out of 10. Do you remember the bird's eye view?
Yeah, I think I did as well.
I think we were all like shocked at how good that was.
Yeah.
So that might be in yours. This is something you haven't seen. You've seen Dungeons and Dragons?
No.
God, such a good movie.
No, I haven't seen
that.
That's
in mine because that was one of the most fun I've had in recent years at a cinema. My other one would be Killers of the Flower Moon, which I don't think you've seen, but it blew me away a little bit. What about The Creator? Didn't you watch that?
I really enjoyed that.
You did like that, didn't you?
And I was trying to think if there's any others that might have topped it.
Mission Impossible?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you thought it was good.
Yeah.
Not great.
Problem with the villain.
Villain. AI just, aspect didn't work.
Yeah. They fucked it.
So I would probably say that's a combined five. We'll go for Oppenheimer, John Wick 4, Across the Spider-Verse, Dungeons and Dragons for me, and Guardians 3.
Guardians 3.
I think those are the best movies. So that's us. So I think that's the show, mate.
That's it.
I love hitting around 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's
perfect.
That's
for you guys. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Leave a review. The sort of year is starting to kick up now in terms of films and TV shows. It's going to be a huge one, so please stay with us. Other than that, for now, thank you for listening.
And thanks for having us in your ears.